Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Mitchell, the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is June 6, 2023. It's the 18th day of Shivan, 2027. We will start our first service today to the song. We're going to close now the song entitled, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary. Savior, defy, now give me a praise. Take, O my gift of faith, let me from this day be holy fine. The rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, cause it inspired that thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee chanceless deep a leaping fire. While half dark days are chill and griefs around me spread, be thou my God, let darkness tempt today. What sorrows is away, now let me ever stray from thee aside. When in lost transient dream, when death tolls sorrow sweet, shall be low, the Savior then in love, fear and distress remove, how bear me safe above a ransomed soul.
Go into our service. Okay, Mount Zion at the 12th hour. B.T. Heller called Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We're on part two, and it says, on the part where it says, will be a theocracy in the heaven as set up here by Yahshua and David, or will be a theocracy. As the Yahweh has promised, where the shepherds are now true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Testimony, Volume 5, page 8. Testimony, Commissioners, page 300. Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of the Jacob began again becoming a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one head, Hosea 1:11, David their king, Hosea 3:5, and seek the Yahshua, their Savior. It is evident that the church in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message will be a theocracy. For the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in the judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, in the shadow of a great rock and a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, Thus Yahshua the Son, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor of the Almighty Yahweh the Father, also as the Everlasting Father. And Yahshua, this Wonderful Counselor, is as the Prince of Peace of this government. Of the increase of his government, Yahshua's government, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, for the ordering it and for the establishing it with the judgment and with the justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua the host will perform this, for the Yahweh sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Isaiah 9:68. Behold, the Yahshua will come with a strong hand. This is the Son, and his arm shall rule for him. This is his kingdom of David. That's his right arm. Behold, his reward is with him. He will then give them the kingdom and his work before him. He will gather his people. Isaiah 40, verse 10. For Yahshua's work has just begun when he comes and sets up his everlasting kingdom on the throne of David. He gives that kingdom to antithetical David and his government, the theocracy. He puts the theocracy, church and state, in their hands, and they rule over the whole world. Okay, it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse is a symbol of the Advent of church today. The rod is a symbol of Mount Carmel, the shepherd rod, Jehovah, out of the stem of Jesse. So the shepherd rod came out of the Seventh Advent of church. Prophecies prophesied Isaiah in the figurative depiction of this glorious triumph of the Yahweh's purpose, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge, and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear. Verily with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness as the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11:1-5. In this illustration, there are three persons brought to view. Jesse, the father of David, the rod David, and the branch Yahshua. For the relation shows that David, the rod, the division of Seventh-day Adventist, B.T. Hall of 1930 to 1970, is not the Yahshua, the branch that came in 1970 with the word of Frederick Johnson. For the rod sprung from the stem of Jesse. Jesse represents the symbol of the Adventist church, and the branch from the rod. So the branch is located at Gilead Center in Carmel, Texas from 1970 to 2003. A fact which is borne out in the cry of the multitude when the Yahshua entered into Jerusalem. For they shouted, Hosanna unto the Son of David. Matthew 21:15. Plainly therefore the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, so symbolical of the man David, And the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the son of David, the Yeshua. So those two people are going to show up in person here in these last days. David is going to partner with Yeshua the son when he comes to this earth to set up the everlasting kingdom of David. They're going to partner together to form the ensign. Okay, upon this ensign, branch and rod, the spirit of the Yahweh, the Father, shall rest, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not sit. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. Now he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. Isaiah 11:2-5. So though the ensign emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse, the root, David, the rod, and the Yeshua as the branch, yet the power and wisdom of the Messiah is its underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says the Yeshua, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star, Revelation 22:16, bearing out that he is all and in all. Since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch to Yeshua, the son. David, the visible king, and Yeshua, as the invisible king of kings, shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign. And unto it shall the Gentile seek at his rest, for his resting place, the location where the rod or the ensign stands. The kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60:13. Saith the Yeshua, or saith the Yahweh, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahweh, will be their Yahweh, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25. So, though the ensign emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse the root, David the rod, and the Messiah as the branch, yet the power and wisdom of the Yeshua is its underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says the Yeshua, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star, Revelation 22:16, bearing out that he is all and in all. Since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, the Yeshua, David the visible king and the Yeshua as the invisible king of kings shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall, by his resting place, the location where the rod or the ensign stand, the kingdom, shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60 verse 13 saith Yahweh. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahweh, will be their Yahweh, and my servant David, a prince among them. This is actually the Son talking. I, the Yahshua, have spoken it. And I will make, let's read that again, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and the Yahshua will be their king of kings, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Yahshua, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of the peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25. That was a little review, but let's continue now. Thus, his church, our kingdom, is again reflected without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. A theocracy of peace, safety, and invincibility with the rule of the one shepherd and a king, and typical David, his servant. The one shepherd is Yahshua, but the fact that many kings reigned over Israel may in the minds of some give rise unto the question, why David as a type? And inevitably because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype, the leadership, in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. This being so, then it necessarily follows that Saul, as the first king who reigned over Israel, and who was largely responsible for the early experience of David's life, is a type of the church leadership in the period preceding the loud cry. That would be preceding the judgment of the living, in other words. Preceding the 12th parabolic hour. The leadership, which was raised up in 1844, and they had the 10th hour, the Adventists, and the Davidians, French Davidians, had the 11th hour. Brother Johnson, Gilead Center, we had the 11th hour, 1970 to 2003. And for the sole purpose of the gathering of the 144,000, the first truths of the kingdom, in each case, type perfectly matches antitype. On account of his outwardly kingly appearance, Saul was chosen by the people, as the reader will remember, to be their king in the spot of Yahweh's disapproval, 1 Samuel 8:7. Then finally, when the Yahweh rejected him and anointed David to be a king in his stead, he was determined to retain the throne by the attempting to kill David, but ended up ever before David descended the throne by deliberately killing himself. 1 Samuel 31:4. Time has already demonstrated that the SGA organization is with the fulfilling of the type preferring to incorporate and to elect officers by the people's voice. They have thereby manifested that they have cared not so much to please the Yahweh by being a peculiar people as he would have them to be, as they have to please himself by being as much as possible like the other denominations, just as in the Saul's time that people wanted to be like the nations round about them, 1 Samuel 8, 5 to 7. And although chosen by the people, yet the general compass officers were nevertheless accepted by the Yahweh to be the rulers over his people now, as Saul was ancient, just as he betrayed his church, however, by the disobeying of the word of Yahweh, as spoken unto him by the prophet Samuel. So the present church organization, the ancient men before the house, says the prophet, to the church today, betrayed their trust, testimony by 5:2-11. For a more ample treatment of the subject of the organization, see our organization manual. Speaking to the SDA leadership, the servant of the Yahweh said, you have no right to manage unless you manage in the Yahweh's order. Are you under the control of the Yahweh? Do you see your responsibility under him? That these men should stand in a sacred place, to be as a voice of the Yahweh under the people? As we once believed the general conference to be, that is past. What we want now is reorganization. General Conference Bulletin, 34th session, item 4 extra, number 1. Okay, it says, this revelatory statement conclusively proves that after the historical Minneapolis meeting in 1888, when the leaders rejected both the message and the council, which was given them, Testimonies and Ministers, page 468, the Yahweh did not any longer regard the general conference as his servant. In other words, to give meeting to receive or have any truth to give, just as he did not any longer regard Saul and king as a king over Israel, after he turned from the Yahweh's commands unto him, and now having long since granted the popular demand to organize the general conference in the fulfillment of the fact, Yahweh warned that his forbearance has come unto an end today, just as it did then, solemnly declared the spirit of the prophecy. For the Yahweh calls for a spiritual revival and a spiritual reformation. Unless this takes place, those who are lukewarm and continue to grow more upon unto the Yahweh, until he will refuse to acknowledge them as his servant. For revival and a reformation must take place within the administration of the Holy Spirit. For the revival and reformation are two different things. For the revival signifies the renewal of the spiritual life as a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, as a resurrection from the spiritual death. For the reformation signifies the reorganization as a change in the ideas and theories, habits, and practices. For the reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of the righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. Revival and reformation are to do their appointed work, and in the doing this work they must plan for the Messiah all righteousness, page 154. Reprinted from the Review in Hell, February 25th, 1902. As the Saul's fall came from the neglection to obey to the letter the word of the Yahweh, and from then excusing his disobedience with the pretext that he had spared the best of the cattle for the sacrifice and the worship unto the Yahweh, so the present leadership, although commanded for the sending of all worldly connections and ways, and for the avoiding all manner of the business on the Sabbath, such as selling the literature, raising gold, etc. Nevertheless, this obediently connected with the world and followed in the forbidden path, even to the turn the house of Yahweh and do a house of the merchandise, Testimony Volume 8, page 250. Then, with the continuing in the Saul's like fashion, they pleaded extenuation of this disobedient and desecrating course on the ground that such a practice is good missionary work, but says the spirit of prophecy. A great mistake has been made by some who profess the present truth. By the introducing of the merchandise in the course of a series of meetings, and by the traffic diverting minds from the object of the meeting, if the Yeshua were now upon the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and traffickers, whether they be ministers or people with the scourge of the small cord, as when he entered the temple anciently and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold up, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. These traffickers might have pleaded as an excuse that the articles they held for sale were for the sacrificial offering, that their object was to get gain and to obtain the means for the accumulating. I was shown that if the moral and intellectual faculties had not been clouded by the wrong habits of the living, the ministers and people would have been quick in the destroying of the evil results of their mixing sacred and common things. Ministers have stood in the desk and preached most solemn discourse, and then by the introducing of the merchandise and acting as a part of their sin, even in the house of the Yahweh, they had diverted the minds of their hearers from the impression received and destroyed as the first fruits of their living. Testimony of Volume 1, page 471 and 2. Though acknowledging Samuel as the Yahweh's prophet, Saul at the same time deliberately disobeyed his words. Likewise, though also acknowledging Sister White as the Yahweh's servant, the general conference, sad to say, are today, by the course they pursued, denying her authority. This wide open fact is exposed numerous times in the spirit of prophecy as a representative statement, being those who have trusted unto intellect, genius, or talent will not then, after the purification, stand at the head of the rank and file, for they did not keep pace with the light. They are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has the faithful servants who, in the shaking testing time, will be dispersed to you. Testimony Volume 5, page 80. If they continue in this state, Yahweh will reject them. Testimony Volume 6, page 427. Just as Saul's outward show resulted, consequently, only in his being dethroned by another king, so likewise shall the great men of the day, those who are at the head of the work and who trust unto intellect, genius, or talent, be replaced by those who, though not having a political outward appearance are to be disclosed to you at this time, as revealing the pure brightness of a genuine character for the further study on the change of the leadership. See our chart number 2, the warning paradox. As the soul furthermore defied the Yahweh by refusing for the abdication of the throne and by the seeking the life of his anointed King David, so now at the sounding of the trumpet today, we find the general conference refusing to let the Yahweh take the reins in Yahshua, the Son, take the reins in his own hand. That's going to mention page 300. For they're attempting the for usurping of his throne, Yahshua's throne, by the determining that they are to rule the denomination until the end of the world, and they're availing themselves of every chance to cast us out of their midst in order for the safeguarding of their control of it. Those who are doing this are they whom the prophet Ezekiel prophetically heard saying, "For this city is a cauldron and we beat the flesh," Ezekiel 11:3. They are now doing everything possible for the exalting and for the perpetuating themselves in the power and for the ridding of those who have in the name of the Yahweh published peace and brought unto them a good tidings that the wicked shall never pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. But this city shall not, says the Yahweh, be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst of, but I will judge you in the border of Israel. Ezekiel 11:11. Those who deny, or those who desire to know the truth for themselves as to what kind of treatment we have received at the hands of the church officials, as did the David at the hands of the King Saul, may read our tract number 7, Count the Evidences on Both Sides Before Firing For or Against, and rejection of the message that has come unto them, or that came unto them, with the warnings and reproofs, and continuing in their evil ways, our brethren are compelling the Yahweh to cut them down by the slaughter of Ezekiel 9, unless they immediately repent. Though on the way to suicide with the soul, yet they are saying in their heart, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. Thus, the peace and safety is the cry from men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet for the showing Yahweh's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who fear the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony 5:2-11. As Saul still further was responsible for the death not only of his son, but also of the people, 1 Samuel 31:6, so the ministry will be responsible for the men, maidens, and little children who fail to receive the seal and who consequently perish in the slaughter. Nevertheless, despite their great sin and certain doom, David as a type reveals the fact that though we may cut the skirt of their robes while they are bitter and wroth against us and are chasing us around a sheepcote, 1 Samuel 24:3-4, or that we may take the spear and the cruise of water from their bolster while they are in the deep sleep from the Yahweh, or that we may, as we find them asleep within the trench, are covering their feet and our hiding places, 1 Samuel 26:7-12, have them at our mercy, with the power and the opportunity to do them much injury, yet in no case would we hurt them in the least, but rather would befriend them. And while they are persecuting us as a Saul, pursued David, everyone that is in distress, and everyone that is in the debt, and everyone that is in the discontent, will, as the type also showed, join us, 1 Samuel 22:2. Whereas all who are neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, satisfied, are with the angel of the church of the living sin, and the critical danger of remaining wretched and miserable and poor and fine and naked, and of being as consequence spewed out, rejected, cut down. Testimony, volume 6, page 427, volume 5, page 80, volume 1, page 190, volume 5, page 211. Okay, it says, in the foregoing exposition, we see that those who respond to the Good Shepherd's voice are typified by the David's followers, and that those who do not respond are typified by the Saul and his followers. In the next parable of the Great Shepherd, the Yahshua again brings to view both classes. On the one hand, Saul sympathizes, prefigure, and the parable, those who excuse themselves on the ground that they were too busy with the cares of this life, and who consequently, with one consent, began to make excuse for the first thing under them unto him. I have bought a piece of the ground, and I must needs go and see it, and I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yokes of the oxen, and I go to prove them, I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. On the other hand, David's followers typify those who were found in the streets and lanes of the city, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Luke 14:17-24. Immediately after Saul was informed by the Samuel that because of his unfaithfulness, Yahweh had rejected him as the ruler over his people, Samuel was sent secretly for the anointing of the king of the David to reign in the Saul's stead. And though Saul was told that Yahweh had rejected him, yet he refused to abdicate, with the result that the Philistines were besetting his army and were about to take the kingdom, for the giant Goliath had stood and cried unto the armies of the Israel and said unto them, why are you come out and to sit your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of the king Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down unto me, if he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of the Israelites. Give me a man that we may fight together. When the Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. 1 Samuel 17:8-11. Though not but a stripling, despised by his brother and but lowly regarded by all of the others, David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And he took a staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a strip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near unto the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, that there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistine saw the champion was dead, they fled. 1 Samuel 17:32-40, 49-51. David's victory over the giant, against whom no one was able to make war, typifies the victory of the church, the house of David, Zechariah 12:8, in a time of the trouble such as never was, over the beast and his image, and typical Goliath, concerning his formidableness. The revelator asked, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? For the giant Goliath accordingly represents those who now defy the servants of the Yahweh, and who shall comprise the image of the beast, that religio-political system, which shall defy the armies of the Yahweh and issue a decree that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:17-15. Really, in that day, saith the Yahweh, will I make the Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is people among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of Yahweh before them. That right, 12:3-8. For the 5 smooth stones and the David's bag, with one of which he slew Goliath, typify the fivefold power and the antitypical shepherd's bag, the Bible. With one part of which the Yahweh, which the Yahshua, shall today smite the beast in his image, the nation, the antitypical Goliath. And since we know that it is by his word and the form of a message that he shall smite the nations, then obviously the 5 smooth stones represent 5 messages, the last of which is to wound the beast, destroy his image, and free the Yahweh people from the fear of the heathen. So as the 5 stones and the shepherd's bag are figured of the 5 messages. The messages, therefore, are necessarily scheduled somewhere in the Bible. They are in the Yahshua's parable of the vineyard, the first at the early hour, Matthew 20:1, the ceremonial system, the second at the third hour, Matthew 20, verse about 3, the crucifixion and resurrection of the Yeshua at the third hour. That's in Matthew 20, verse about 4. At the sixth hour, the 2300 days of Daniel 8:14, the fourth at the ninth hour, verse 1844, the judgment of the dead, and the fifth and last is at the end of the 11th hour, that took place in 2002 at the conversation of the Gilead Senate, with Brother Johnson bringing the Gilead Senate to a close for the Seventh-day Adventist Third Feeding Pastor, the judgment of the living, the time of the last trial, which shall wound the beast, and with his own sword, the ten horns, Revelation 17:16, cut off his head, and then with fire destroy him, so that the wound shall never heal again. And the message of the hour, therefore, lies the safety of Yahweh's people. For a complete study of the parable of Matthew 20, verse 1 through 16, and of the beast, Revelation 17, read the Shepherd Broad, Volume 2, page 222, 239, 155. For the proclaimer of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, in Malachi 4, 5, a day of the slaughter, Isaiah 30, 25, and a day of the darkness, Joel 2, 2. This last message is to be sounded at the end of the 11th hour, in other words, at the 12th hour, for the actions. Just before the time at which, as John foresaw, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on earth and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is coming, who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:15-17. None but the righteous, the future leaders of the church, as the David's reign typified, and who raised up the righteous man from the east, tore him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over the kings, for he gave them as a dust to his sword, and as a driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rise of the sun, as from the east shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the part of treaders clay, Isaiah 41, 2 and 3 and 25. Behold, I have given him for a witness unto the people, a leader and a commander unto the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of Yahweh because Yahshua thy king, and for Yahweh thy father, and for the Holy One Yahshua of the Israel, for he hath glorified thee. This is the house of David. He has glorified thee. Seek ye the Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This is how Yahshua. Seek ye the Yahshua while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:46. Okay, it says, since for the Yahweh's honor and for the prosperity of his people, both the largest message. And David's reign took the lives of many. Elijah's message, the lives of the apostate teachers in Israel, 1 Kings 18:40. And David's reign as the lives of the heathen who defied the Yahweh and his army, who defied the Yahshua and his army, the Son. 1 Chronicles 22:68. Therefore, the work of the Elijah particularly typifies the day of the slaughter and the church, and the reign of the David as the destruction of the heathen and the possession of the earth. Zechariah 12:9. Jeremiah 30 verse 39. Wherefore the Yeshua, as the Son of David, shall visibly appear, take unto himself his kingdom, Luke 19:15, and glorify it with the everlasting peace, as typified by the peaceful reign of the David's son Solomon, and in the days of these anticipatory events shall be completely realized the promise, it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou David must go unto go to be with thy fathers, and I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy son, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will take my mercy away from him, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. 1 Chronicles 17:11-13. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, and when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. While the righteous, he makes the kingdom his place and protection, unto the heathen, Yahweh makes it his battle lance. Actually, this should be Yeshua the Son makes it his battle axe. Let's do that again. It says, while the righteous, he makes the kingdom his place and protection, unto the heathen, the Yeshua the Son makes it his battle axe. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of the war, declares Yeshua, and the foreshadowing unto the posterity of the Jacob, their ultimate destiny. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider, and with thee also will I break in pieces men and women, and with thee will I break in pieces old and strong, young, and with thee will I break in pieces young man and a maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces husbandmen and his yoke of the oxen, with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Jeremiah 51:20-23. For the stone that the David for the stone down to 245, Zechariah 3:9, Revelation 144,000, Revelation 14:1, cut out of the mountain, the latest in church without the hand, without the human help, is to break the nations that are symbolized by the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Of their great image, and all that burden themselves with shall be cut in pieces, and all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. For in the days these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom, which Yahshua the Son, Yahshua of the heavens, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. But upon the Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of the Jacob shall possess their possession, and the house of the Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of the Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remain of the house of Esau, for the Yahweh has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of the Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of the Jerusalem, which is and the Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors, 144,000, shall come upon the Mount Zion for the joining of the Mount of Esau. for the judging of the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yashir's, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yashir shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Yerushalayim shall be deliverance, as the Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom the Yashir shall call. Obadiah 1:17-21, Joel 2:32. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted, Isaiah 60, verse 12. From the foregoing scriptures, we see that as a result of the rejection of the truth proclaimed by his church, that wicked go to destruction. And echoing this prophetic pronouncement, that there then the Messiah declares, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of his father shall they be broken to sugar, even as I received of my father, Revelation 2:26-27. He that overcometh, being the one who is to rule the nation with a rod of iron, and the need and the work of the overcome being now his by his followers, the truth is obvious that the Yahweh will have a victorious nation, a kingdom through which he will manifest his great power, and which shall be that as a heaven like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom as the time that the Yahweh shall use it, or the Yashir, the Son, shall use it as his battle axe to push to smite the nations, as evidenced by the following scripture. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall eat them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the second child shall play on the hole of the ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:6-9. When this state of the knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom, then in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and this shall the Gentiles seek. Consequently, it is in the probationary time and in that day. For the Yahweh Yashir shall sit here. Of the shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. That's the Son. For the Yashir, the Son, shall set his hand again the second time. The first time he said it was when he went with Moses down into Egypt and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt about 1500 B.C. to recover the remnant of his people, Isaiah 11:10-11. And in that day says the Yashir, through his prophet Hosea, and the reiteration of his covenant of the peace, will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow, and the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of the Hosea chapters 1 and 2, read our title, or track number 4, the latest piece of metal. As in the Noah's Ark, the type, so in the antitypical Ark, the kingdom. Nothing shall hurt nor destroy the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all shall feed on the straw. This thus now, as in the Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve a remnant of the man and beast out of his whole creation, instead of exterminating every living thing and then creating them all over again. For the recognizing this fact, the Apostle Paul says, "For the earnest expectation of the creatures waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of the Yahweh. For the creature was made a subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption, and to the glorious liberty of the children of the Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Romans 8:19-23. "And he will destroy in this mountain," that is this kingdom of, everlasting kingdom of David, which is the kingdom of peace, that Yahshua and antipical David is reigning over together, says Isaiah, "the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death and victory, and the Yahweh and Yahshua will wipe away tears from off all the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Yahweh has spoken. And it shall be said in that day in which the Yahweh wipes away the tears from the faces of all his people, lo, this is Yahshua, the Son. We have waited for him." So this is Yahshua talking to him. "And it shall be said in that day, the day in which Yahshua wipes away the tears from the faces of all his people, lo, this is our Yahshua, our Savior. We have waited for him, and he will save us. And this is the Yahshua, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for in this mountain, this everlasting kingdom of David, shall the hand, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, shall the hand of the Yahshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill," Isaiah 25:7-10. "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." This brings in verse 57, contact just at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message, and we're going to close out with a song. Wonder of wonder. Let me tell you this story about a long time ago. Of a prophecy made for the teacher to unfold. About a man named Yahshua who came to his own, to live and to die and to reign on his throne. Wonder of wonder in heaven I shoot, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. Oh, matchless love from heaven come down. He was a man who walked among men. He showed deliverance from error of sin. He touched the heartstrings of men where they live. And with unerring judgment he had power to forgive. He taught the plan of salvation by faith. Long on mercy and full of grace. He blazed the trail to glory you see. Through the blood of the Lamb of the Calvary.